This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
Get some best bets with analysis here. Waste Management begins tomorrow. Always a very fun tournament. 16, of course, super rowdy. Jeff Seeley joins the program now on X at Cupmaker Jeff. Cupmaker Pod's been recorded. Going to be out later on this afternoon. What are you chuckling about, Paulie?
That's super rowdy. Yeah, that's
right?
One way to say it.
They lose it. Jeff was there a couple years ago.
Oh, man.
And he's on the Progressive guest line. Hey, pal, we were just talking about this previous segment, this cross-sport prop that I found. And it's Scottie Scheffler total birdies final round on Sunday. Pick 'em versus total touchdown scored in the Super Bowl, which is minus 130. Your thoughts on that prop?
Yeah, no. I mean, guys, given the weather, I think that Scotty for sure at a pick 'em is the play there, right? There's supposed to be rougher weather early on Thursday, kind of windy early on Thursday. So I'm going to be looking at the second half of the afternoon, guys, for some first round leader plays. But other than that, the weather looks fine. So I mean, look, I think Scotty's floor Sunday is probably 5 birdies, maybe 4 at the worst. And, you know, with the upside of 6 or 7, maybe even 8, what do you have? He had, I think, 8 a couple of years ago. So, I love Scotty in that. So, like we said off air, I feel like they're going to have to be 6 touchdowns to beat you in that. And that's especially if that, you know, even money, that's a bet I'll take all day long on the Scotty side.
What are you thinking because of the weather, what that means for your handicapping and also early on?
Yeah, again, guys, I mean, I think the normally you don't spend a ton of time looking at tee times, unless you know the weather is going to be a factor. And again, we know there's going to be some early wind this week. So it's factored in. Now, that said, is it going to be, you know, a massive change in my decisions? No.
All right.
But it is going to impact my first round leader plays a little bit.
Okay. Can you tell us a couple of those then?
Yeah, so guys, I mean, looking at the top of the board, I mean, my favorite play of the guys at the top of the board is easily Cameron Young. I mean, I think when you look at this guy, he mashes it off the tee, gained an average of 2 strokes off the tee over his last eight events. Putter's been white hot here the last 2 years. He's gained an average of 6 strokes putting over his last 2 visits. So those 2 factors alone, I think, make him a elite play this week. I actually think he should be priced better than Xander. And I looked at the matchup. You can find him at even money or even plus money against Xander. I think that is a terrific play. I mean, I think he's the number 2 play in the field, and he's got a late tee time. He's got a 2:44 tee time. So, I mean, if you had a gun in my head and said, who's your favorite pick for first round leader, probably Cam Young, to be totally honest. I bet him, you know, 3/4 of a unit and the winner without everything I bet this week. I bet the winner without. I think Scotty very clearly is for a good reason the favorite to win. But I like Cam Young a lot, top 10 at plus 205 as well.
Okay.
And then one other guy, near the top of the board, Maverick McNealy. I think he's probably the most tip guy there is this week, but another good first round leader play. He tees off after 3 p.m. And again, a guy you can play in the afternoon. He's 25-1, the winner without market. Great form. Coming in with T24th to Sony. Top 10 finish last week at Torrey Pines. Gained across the board in every single category the last 2 weeks. No holes in his game. Add that to the fact that he has back-to-back top 10 finishes here. Maybe the easiest clip to pick this week. I played him, you know, 1 unit at top 20. I played him top 10. I played him, you know, half a unit as well, and the winner without at 25-1. I also bet him in a matchup against Victor Hovland. Absolutely love Maverick McNealy this week.
All right, so all the bets, again, to specify this here, all the bets that you're going to talk about on this show right here come down to the winner without, and that for the outrights, because you just don't want to get in front of Scottie Scheffler this week.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right. Yeah, for sure.
Let's go mid-tier then, 47-1. Make your case for Kurt Kitayama.
Yeah, so Kurt Kitayama has been a top 10 ball striker over the last nine months on tour, evidenced by the fact that he's gained both off the tee and on approach in 12 of his last 13 events. Just remarkable ball striking. His issue's been his short game is average and his putting's below average. The hope is that he can putt like he did here in 2023 and 2024 when he gained an average of 4 strokes with the putter. If he compares those putting results with the ball striking we've seen in the past 9 months, he's going to be in the conversation on Sunday. I didn't ladder him like I did some other guys, but I did play him top 30, and then I played a little bit on the outright winner without as well. So really like Kurt Kitayama.
Okay, Nick Taylor has a really good history here, specifically in the first round. So what is the breakdown on him for this week?
Yeah, I love Nick Taylor at 59-1, the winner without, but his early tee time has him off me for a first-round leader, which means he'll probably get there. But I'm not going to play him first-round leader with the win. That said, his results here speak for themselves. T25 last year, winner in 24, second place in 23. He is the best putter in this field on these greens. Gained an average of 6 strokes putting over his last 3 trips. Easily the best putter in the field on these greens. His irons were really bad last week, but looked good 2 events prior to that. If he can dial them back in the way they were at Sony and putt like he has the last 3 trips, Nick Taylor is going to be very alive to win. I did ladder him top 30, top 20, and in on the outright as well. Really like Nick Taylor.
Okay. How about a couple bombs, my friend?
Yeah, so Andrew Novak, man, 3 top 10s in his last 7 events. Finished T10 in this event 2 years ago. Had a top 10 last week at Torrey Pines where he gained 7 strokes on approach. When his irons are dialed in, Andrew Novak, he's 76-1 in the winner without market. He can be in the hunt in any tournament. I laddered him top 40 all the way up to a small bet on the outright at 76-1. And guys, what if I told you there was a guy in the field this week who was 400-1 in the winner without market? He has 3 straight top 25 finishes at this event. He won on the PGA Tour in his last 6 months, and he finished inside the top 15 at Torrey Pines last week. Over the last 3 years, he ranks 7th in this event in birdie or better percentage and 15th in bogey avoidance. And again, he is 400-1 on DraftKings in the winner without market. And I think what would be more amazing if he can get some of the Hoosier karma, because he's the only current Indiana resident to be playing in the field this week, and that's Adam Schenck, the pride of Vincennes, Indiana. I played him top 40 at plus 265, top 30 at plus 475, top 20 at plus 820, mm-hmm. and then a little on the outright at 400-1 without Scottie Scheffler. Adam Schenck is a phenomenal play this week. Really excited about him and hope that the fellow Hoosier can come through here.
Very good. Love the breakdown as always. You can follow him on X at Cutmaker Jeff, and the Cutmaker podcast is coming out later on this afternoon. He joined us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Who do you have on Sunday in the big game?
I'm on Seattle, but I've parlayed him to a bunch of other things in Seattle money line. But I'm on Seattle money line. That's where I think the play is for me.
All right, buddy. Good luck this week, okay?
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
No Koepka. Nope. Again.
Jeff Seeley.
All right.
Last week on the card, he was on Obear. That was a loser. Matsuyama and McNeely, top 20s at plus money. They were both winners. Højgaard almost got top 20, but lost. Higuain, Mackey lost on as well on the card last week for the top 20 in the placement spots for him. I love it. And by the way, a couple years ago, it was before the Bengals Rams game, we had a playoff and Scotty won it, but it led into the game. Do you remember that?
Okay. Yeah.
It was a great finish to that tournament. And again, people are going hog wild on 18. We're like, tick tock, boys. The Super Bowl starting here in like 20 minutes. And it ran into each other.
Celtics and Knicks Sunday, too. Pretty good NBA schedule. So good schedule before the Super Bowl on Sunday. Not a bad job. Anthony Davis, Jaden Hardy, D'Angelo Russell, and Exum for Middleton, Bagley, and a plethora of picks. Just stunning. And 29 games he played in a Dallas Mavericks uniform. The trade about a year ago.
I don't think we can ever top that one.
No. A young superstar, top 5 player in the league, for a guy who's always hurt and got hurt twice in his tenure, short tenure, and only played 29 games and then shipped off.
If you wanted
not much interest in the market for him either.
Paul, if you wanted to twist my arm and say the league sent Flag to Dallas as a favor, I'd buy into it.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, this is where would they be at? They got so lucky with that.
No doubt.
And plus, he's been so good in the last couple of games, and now they're just going to build around him. We're headed into Big Game 60, your last chance to lock in the lowest price we've ever offered on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Save $60 off the regular annual price. Use code FTM. Every best bet, every host, every guest, the prop analyzer, the DK and Circa betting splits, the prop tools, 24/7 video and full show replays, Super Bowl betting guide, Mackinnon, daily trends. Also, the March Madness betting guide as well. VSiN.com/subscribe. Code FTM. VSiN.com/subscribe. Code FTM.
Win, lose, next. Some line moves were correct. Some were not, as always. And Cooper Flagg's ladder kept climbing last night. Details on that coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Always follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Busy hour on tap. Mike Palm here from Circa coming up in 30 minutes. We begin with the great Sal Palantonio, ESPN, been with the network for more than 30 years, host of the Matchup Show for a long time as well. He's up in San Francisco for Super Bowl 16. He joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Sal Pal, as always, a treat to talk to you. What is your favorite attraction, by the way, in the San Francisco Bay Area? Alcatraz, would it be the Golden Gate Bridge, the food overall? What do you think?
I think it's the food overall. You know, you can get a great Italian meal no matter where you go in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was actually stationed here in the Navy in the early 80s, so I got my spots.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm in the South Bay in Santa Clara, so we went scouting for an Italian restaurant last night, actually in a plaza where Fleming's is, the steakhouse. We couldn't get into Fleming's because Mike Vrabel had a private room for all the coaches last night. And Mike Vrabel picked up the steak dinner tab for all of his entire coaching staff last night at a private dinner. In fact, he said I heard the message from some of the coaches. He told his coaches, quote, "Let's finish this job the right way," and then he picked up the tab and walked out.
Great story.
Good inside info.
Well done. Absolutely. How concerned are you about the weather? Could it play any role Sunday?
I'm hearing that the weather is supposed to be about what it is now. There is going to be a little bit more cloud cover, so it won't be as warm. There is a cold front coming in Sunday. The question is, when is it coming in Sunday, and will there be any showers late in the game? That's what I have heard. But I heard that the showers are going to hold off until after the game is over. That could change. The weather here changes very quickly because, you know, we're right on the ocean. So we'll watch that as the week progresses. I think it won't be a major factor.
Okay, so you've now had a good 10 solid days pretty much to think about it, to examine it. Again, as I mentioned, you've hosted the Matchup Show for many, many years on ESPN. You talk to a lot of other brilliant minds as well. All right, what is the conclusion here? Who's going to win? How do you see the game going?
Okay, let's start with how I see the game going. You got to look at the history of the Seahawks and the Patriots, the recent history of the Seahawks and the Patriots. 9 out of the last 10 games between the Seahawks and the Patriots have been one-score games. 3 of the previous 4 Patriots-Seahawks games ended on the 1-yard line. So these games come down to the wire between these two teams. That's a number that you haven't heard anywhere
else. No, that's the first.
Yes, it is. I got that number, and I've been holding it in my back pocket for Follow the Money.
Thank you.
Let me repeat that again. 3 of the previous 4 Patriots-Seahawks games ended on the 1-yard line. In fact, when I dug that up and I sent it to my guy in Bristol, who checks all of my research facts before I go on anywhere, ESPN, Follow the Money, doesn't matter. he sent a memo back to me and he says, where did you get this? This checks out. We love it. And I said, well, you can't use it until Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern. Don't even put it out. Don't put it on Twitter. Don't put it in your notes. Nothing. Three of the last four Patriots-Seahawks games ended on the one-yard line. And I think, and talking to Josh McDaniels today at the team hotel, I went through a lot of stuff with him. One-on-one. Some of it is already running NFL Live, but it's going to run throughout the week. And he said, you know, I think it's going to come down to that again, a one-score game in the fourth quarter, because these two teams are built right, and in the end, somebody's got to make a play. And I agree with him. I have the Patriots winning the game.
Wow.
I have the and I'm going against the grain of a lot of my brethren and colleagues at ESPN, a lot of whom are picking the Seahawks to win, some of them picking the Seahawks to win big. I don't see it. I think a lot of it has to do with the Milton Williams effect. The Milton Williams effect, the hangover from last year when he was in Philly. I think the Patriots looked at what the Philadelphia Eagles did with the rush up the middle. Two guys, Christian Barmore, Milton Williams. The only real good weak spot for the Seahawks is their interior offensive line. And I think if you get into Sam Darnold's face enough times, you can disrupt him like the Eagles did with Patrick Mahomes, and that is going to be the difference in the game. I actually have the Patriots winning 24-21.
Okay, interesting. Right about, yeah, right there with the total, too. Okay. Does Darnold turn it over?
Darnold turns it over, absolutely. Yeah. He turns it over. You know, you look at these two corners, and you look at all three of them for the New England Patriots. Carlton Davis III on the left side, Gonzalez, the All-Pro, on the right side. And don't forget about Marcus Jones.
Yeah.
Number 25, I think, is going to figure deep into this game. I do. He's got so much speed and awareness, and he's so good in the slot. And there'll be times when Marcus Jones will be targeted, and I think he will respond.
So if you have them winning 24-21 overall, how are they going to get the points on the board? Is it going to be just Drake May doing everything, throwing and running the football? Are they going to be able to run the ball on Seattle? Or who would it be potentially in the passing game then for the Patriots?
Yeah, so the thing is, they have really three runners. They've got Lightning and Travion Henderson. And Ramondre Stevenson is the Thunder, or vice versa. They run them inside the tackles or on the outside. I think what you'll see in this game is they will run on the edges against the Seahawks, and they will attack their corners in the run game. And Drake May, you must absolutely make sure that you account for him as a runner. He had 63 scrambles in the regular season, most of any quarterback. He had 9 scrambles for 125, 13 a carry in the postseason. Obviously, the unknown factors are what? One, is Drake May's shoulder okay on the right side? Is his throwing shoulder okay? So he'll be on the practice field in about an hour here in Northern California at Stanford and Palo Alto. They have a good, solid 90-minute practice, and they are practicing late today. So we won't get the injury report and the pool report until much later in the day, somewhere around like maybe 8 p.m. Eastern, before you'll know today fully any kind of independent eyewitness report on Drake May throwing the football. And will he feel comfortable enough running with the football and worried about getting hit? One of the things that you got to look at is that Drake May invariably runs to his left. He scrambles to his left and he dives forward with his right shoulder instead of sliding. And it got him in trouble in Denver. And if you watch that in the first quarter and he gets hit and he dives forward running to his left, almost all of his scrambles in the postseason, guys, have been to his left, where he dives onto his right shoulder and gets hit. If that happens early in the game, watch him get up, and whether he grimaces, that could definitely be how you can handicap the rest of the game.
Did you have any intel? He said he's going to play, but do you know what percentage Spillane is?
Yeah, Spillane is going to play. Again, we'll see today. If he's listed as limited instead of a full participant, and I anticipate he will be limited today. Uh-huh. I don't think he'll be. It's hard to go from not practicing to a full participant in practice. Very rarely does that happen. You know, you have to have you have to explain to people this is a miracle recovery, right? He did not practice all last week. So I think he'll be limited. I think they'll take it slow, and we won't really know. But the thing about it is, guys, when Spillane went out in that game against Denver, it was the first quarter of the game. So Jack Gibbons, 51, they put the green dot on his helmet, and Zach Kerr, who is the linebackers coach, who's calling the defensive plays because Terrell Williams is out with prostate cancer recovery, I thought they did a terrific job with Gibbons, even without Spillane. I think the injury to Spillane is not an issue, not a major issue, because Gibbons held his own. Would they rather have him? Of course. You want the extra bodies. You got to have all hands on deck.
Okay. In like 90 seconds here, then, you think that they pretty much hold Kenneth Walker and Jackson Smith and Jigma in check in this game?
In check? No. I think, you know, they'll get their touches. They'll get some yards, but the Patriots are really good at squeezing things in the red zone. And so I think they'll get some shots in the red zone, and, you know, they'll come up short. I really do. But in space, number 11 is a nightmare, and they move him all over the formation. I think one of the things that really attracts Tom Brady in Las Vegas, the Clint Kubiak, is the way they have employed Jackson Smith and Jigba. They'll be in two tight end sets a lot in this game. They'll run out of it. They'll pass out of it. And they'll try to grind out some points against the Patriots defense. But this Patriots defense, you watch them on film, they are a violent team. They are a violent, violent team.
Sal Pell, you're the best. We thank you, as always, for making a little bit of time for us up in San Francisco, that area anyway, during Super Bowl week to join the program. Thanks for the prediction. Enjoy the game on Sunday. We appreciate it.
Always follow the money, baby. Come on.
There you go. Wednesdays with Vito Sun, officially on the record, picking the Patriots outright.
I don't like that final score. It'd be an entertaining game. Only one field goal, though.
Yeah. I would like to make the case to bet on this team at 50-1 or higher to win next year's Super Bowl, but there's one big problem.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We go from Wednesdays with Vito Sun to Wednesdays with the maestro, Mike Palm, VP of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate. And the D joins us here every Wednesday at 5:30 Eastern Time, 2:30 Pacific. Good to see you, Michael. How are you today?
Hello, Mitch. Hello, Paul. How are you? Nice weather here in Las Vegas. I just got back from Chicago, where, it was 18 and snowy.
Bundled up. Did it make you miss it?
I like the Four Seasons, though.
Yeah, but you don't like the 0 degrees. No.
Like scraping the car. I like.
No, yes. You don't.
Derek threw the switch as 670 the score became 104.3 the score is. They got to FM, and I'll be recording my first show on Saturday from Bar Canada. It'll be a live show on the score, 8 to 9 in Chicago, 6 to 7 here in Las Vegas, called Home Saturday.
Okay.
My first guest will be Pat Foley, who has not done an interview since he retired 3 years ago, Hall of Fame broadcaster for the Blackhawks. The show that follows it, David Haw and Bruce Levine do this show inside the clubhouse. It's a baseball show from 9 to 11. I'm going to turn them into Jasmine Guy and Kadeem Hardison. I'm telling you right now, the ratings that they're going to get because of the lead-in, it's the Cosby
world?
Show in a different world all over.
Wow.
There you go.
That's a tough one, though.
That show was in the top 5 4 years when Cosby was number one leading into it.
Yeah. Did you go to Portillo's?
No, we went to a different place, and we were disappointed.
Oh, that's come on.
Derek was just a little disappointed.
No,
we didn't want to go off route. We could have went off route and got to Portillo's on the way to the airport.
I've heard all the local mom and pops places are just as good.
This wasn't true. The bread wasn't great.
How do you blow bread?
It's hard.
That's terrible. It's a bad, sets the tone. You got to have solid bread. It's big.
Do bettors here at Circa anyway, and in all the of the six states where you're located, are they finding this to be a sexy Super Bowl matchup based on the betting handle?
We're waiting to find out if it's going to...
The game's Sunday. What do you mean? We're waiting.
Well, the game's Sunday. I mean, it'd be like we were talking Wednesday on a game. I mean, they're settling in. They're waiting for the injury reports.
It's that low at this point?
It's okay. It's trending a little below, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, you think it's going to be low scoring. Your prediction's incredible. Tell people in the guide what you think and who you bet MVP.
You got to get the pro. Get the pro. I mean, you pay double for this Super Bowl guide than what you do for your first month of the pro subscription. It's incredible. I loved everybody's write-ups. They were very fascinating. And congrats to Adam Burke for cajoling everyone to put a few sentences together, which not everybody does easily. So I believe that Vrabel, with 2 weeks to prepare, will take a look at the tape from November 30th. When the Vikings went to Seattle. Now, that was the game they started the undrafted rookie Sam Brosmer from
Max.
The University, or Max Brosmer from the University of Minnesota, right? Who has no business being an NFL quarterback. And so Minnesota did nothing and could not possess the ball. So basically, you just said, here, Darnold, here's the ball for 60 minutes, right? He had 120 yards, 3.3 yards per play. They sacked him four times, and Seattle, with all that possession, had one offensive touchdown. And the score was 26-0. They kicked four field goals. And they had a defensive touchdown. I think Vrabel, with 2 weeks to prepare, will try to steal from Flores. Now, on the other side of the ball, you know the Seattle front four will create pressure. The secondary is elite. And I don't think McDonald will make the same mistake as Vance Joseph and not spy Drake May. And so I think this will be a low-scoring defensive game. Seahawks, 19. Patriots, 17. MVP, Seattle kicker Jason Myers at 50 to 1. Mitch, you saw 250 to 1 somewhere in town. So maybe I can get $10 down there.
Maybe they'll get you like get 10 bucks on that. But so I like that angle.
Benjamin Solak has 16-13. Not bad.
I think there's a path for that to happen.
That's a path. That's a path.
Right? I don't see a shootout. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, so I had this conversation with somebody yesterday. Okay. If this game is played 100 times, how many times is it? Whatever, 28-28 late fourth quarter, or 34-30, like with 3 minutes to go in the game.
Less than 15 times.
I said 10. This person said, I don't think it happens 10 times.
Well, less than 15 encompasses 10.
Okay.
I just don't. Here's the other thing. You know, and my prediction would suggest Patriots to take the points. Mm-hmm. But think about this. The look-ahead number to Seattle-Denver was 10. And in a coin flip game in Denver in the snow, and you know Peyton didn't kick a field goal, and then the stupid lateral and all that, is it really that big of a difference between New England and Denver that it's 5.5 points different than the look ahead versus the Broncos? I would suggest the line should be a little higher. That doesn't mean I'm going to bet it. I would just suggest the line should be like 5.5 or 6.
Well, and plus, isn't that all you're hearing? Is that Seattle, 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 and a lot of people making the case like don't even lay the 4.5, lay 9.5, 13.5, whatever.
Well, some places have gone to 5. We're still 4.5, 110, which is but we'll have more pros that maybe the pros take points. I don't know here. It's hard to really get an opinion. We took that one big bet, but that was a hedge. So we'd like to take a lot more big bets. I know one guy came in, he wanted to take the alt Seattle plus 14.5 minus 1800 to win a huge amount. Well, that's the only bet we would write on it. So, I mean, you're not going to write anything back. So whatever he's going to write on is going to win. So you can't go crazy.
Yeah. Mitch doesn't want to hear it. But what do you think of Darnold? Could Darnold get him beat? Led the league in turnovers, even though he's been great.
Who's been better in the playoffs, Darnold or May?
Darnold. Like,
unquestionably, yeah, Darnold,
no doubt.
Right?
Yeah.
Does Darnold get a bad rap? Now, you could say Darnold a bad rap his first 4 years or whatever. But since week one of last year, he had two really bad games, and they just happened to be week 18, and they happened. So the narrative was he can't win in the big game. Now he was okay against San Francisco. He was very good against Matt Stafford. And really, they went blow for blow there, right? We're not talking about the Rams winning that game if they don't get that stupid unsportsmanlike penalty that gave the Rams another. Remember? Everybody will talk about that, but they got that ridiculous unsportsmanlike conduct penalty when the Rams would have been punting.
Yeah, the muff was big, though, too.
Well.
But I see your point.
McVay ignored special teams.
And
their own fault.
Honestly, how McVay botched the end of the second quarter.
Yeah. How does Seattle ever get the ball back there?
Impossible. You cannot allow that to happen. Mm-hmm.
Are you in on the meetings? Do you have input as a bettor?
with some of the props and stuff you would like to see? Because I thought they did a great
scoffs.
I thought they did a great job
with
creativity.
I loved it. Look, I highlighted all the ones I love. I love this. Well, the longest, what's higher, the longest field goal or the total points in the game? That's definitely correlated both ways. And so I like the field goal. I did a lower scoring script. You're going to kick more field goals and have less points to go over, right? And it's the opposite way if you think it's going to be a high scoring game.
Sure.
So I like all of this stuff. Total punts, total sacks, total interceptions. I like over 1.5. Total fourth down conversions, over 1.5. Longest gross punt distance, longest touchdown drive, total players with a rush attempt, 7.5.
You like that over? You think it'll be an 82-yard?
No, I don't. I like the under.
Oh, okay,
I'm just saying
you.
I like that prop.
Oh, gotcha.
Those are very interesting props.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Total players with a reception, 13.5.
Yeah.
I think they're all very interesting props and fun props.
How about scoreless quarter? And then absolutely no score, first 5.5, 6.5, 7.5, and beyond.
I bet 5.5 and 6.5 already. But I do that most Super Bowls just because I like that sweat at the beginning of the game.
Uh-huh.
They're not going to try to go over the top, right? Because these NFL drives take 7-8 minutes if you march the ball down the field.
And Seattle, the last in the league in going forward on fourth down or fourth down conversions.
I like over 3.5 total field goals made because both these coaches take points. More than the league average, way more than the league average.
How popular has the promotion been on par with Canada? Explain.
Oh, come on. We're getting like 45 to 50 new Canadians a day come in here and take advantage of it. Whether it's at the bar, the hotel discount, or the free play thing. So we had to do a number. So it ran from January 21st to the end of August. And Derek wanted everyone to predict how much coin in would we get from Canadians that came down and took advantage of this, that did the promotion. Not just all Canadians, but Canadians that did the promotion, because you can only do it one time. Through the end of January, which encompasses 10 days. Okay, so Derek's prediction was 10 million coin in from these people. My prediction was 900,000. All right, if you extrapolate the first 10 days, it's 8.9 million. It's incredible.
Wow, really?
It's incredible how many people are coming down. Now, not necessarily all. We're getting a lot of hotel bookings, but much more so people using it at the bar and for slots that aren't staying here but are staying somewhere else.
Just go to CircaLasVegas.com.
Yeah, at par. And you can come in and book your reservation. You can say it, but even if you didn't use it and you're Canadian and you get here, you can say, give me the at par discount. And just all you have to do is show your passport or Canadian driver's list. Now, I believe there's a lot of people living in the area that still have those. I would have required a current utility bill, but they said no. They said no.
That's okay. Great point. I wanted to, as a follow-up, Paulie and I, when we did mornings, show was on Rogers Sportsnet, right? I mean, let's be honest here. We couldn't walk the streets of Yellowknife or Saskatoon.
Damn right.
The show was so big. Now people have been coming anyway from like Toronto and all over saying, hey, guys, you know, I'm here from... But what part of Canada have you seen the most, like the region? Is it just like the west coast of Canada or is it all over?
I sat with a guy that works in the harness racing industry from Toronto last Thursday night and then hung out with him at Stadium Swim. I mean, it's everywhere. But if I had to pinpoint one province... it would be Alberta.
Yeah.
Derek says the interviews in Alberta are going crazy, right? They love them. They don't want all this nonsense politics of Eastern Canada, right? They want to secede. So I think Trump should trade Minnesota for Alberta. I think that would be a good move for the U.S.
We're lower Canada anyway, so that's what they call it. I know, not bad. Are you still paying full price for gas, Mike? Don't have to. With the free Upside app, you earn real cash back every time you fill up. Download Upside from the Apple Google Play Store. Start earning today. Promo code NETWORK. Get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Drivers are saving $200 to $300 a year. Download the free Upside app now. Promo code NETWORK. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
He needs to learn the definition of legacy. You cannot be serious. Next with Mike Palm. Time for some best bets here as VSiN host Matt Eumanns joins the program on the Progressive Guest Line. Matt, can you believe it? This coming Super Bowl Sunday will be the 10th at VSiN. 10 Super Bowls now. That's incredible how time flies. You were with the network on day one. First day it was on the air along with Brent Musburger. What's the story that you're never going to forget with the Godfather?
Time flies, Mitch. You're going to be saying that pretty soon when your little kid is driving a car and dating.
No kidding.
But I can't believe that VSiN's going to be on for its 10th Super Bowl now. You're right. It's amazing how fast time can fly. I know a lot of people at the time thought that a lot of doomsday sayers said that, VSiN would never last 2 or 3 years. And this is going to be our 10th Super Bowl. But I there was a Super Bowl preview show taped on Saturday. So we fired up the network, really fired up the website, first week of January 2017. And then there was a preview show that Brent taped with Chris Andrews, Jimmy Vaccaro, VSiN Vinny, I think on Saturday. So on Sunday was our first live show. And it was Brent hosting, and Gil and I were on in studios for the live betting show for the Super Bowl. And obviously, Gil and I were on the same side. We had the Patriots on a cheap money line price at about minus 132 or 135, somewhere around there. And Brent had the Falcons and the points. So Brent decides at halftime, it's such a blowout, early third quarter at the first time out, that he's going to check out. He said, this game's over. You guys take it from here. He gets up out of his seat, walks over to the coat rack, puts on his big trench coat, and his houndstooth hat, and he says, looks at Gil and I, you know, we felt humiliated because it was the first day on the air. The last thing you want to do is look like a jackass in front of Brent Musburger, and we've got the Patriots, and they're down 28-3, right? We look like a couple of idiots. And Brent puts on his coat and his hat, and he looks at us, and he laughs. He says, turn out the lights, folks. The party's over. And he just walks out the door laughing, and so Gil and I host the show the rest of the way, and that's when the comeback by the Patriots started, and they won the game 34-28 in overtime. Oddly enough, the first ever overtime Super Bowl, and they covered with the touchdown. I think 34-28 was the final. But that was the first day on the air, and that's still one of my most vivid memories of VSiN, is Brent laughing as he walked out of the studio, and Gil and I were down 28-3. I believe Paul, you and Mitch, you guys got hired, what, in July or August of 2017? Mm-hmm. When was that?
Yeah, a couple months after, yep.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought it was the summer after that, so,
yeah.
I mean,
well, Matt, this is a trivia question that nobody probably remembers. Mm-hmm. We started doing weekends, actually, in March, and then our show was actually 2 hours, and it was from 11 until 1, Monday through Friday, and we did that from, like, April to right after the Mayweather-McGregor fight, and that's when we started mornings.
You know what? I even forgot that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's wild. I forgot you guys were doing weekends. You know what? That Mayweather-McGregor fight was a godsend for us that summer. It gave us something to talk about almost every day.
Absolutely. And that was an all-time bad beat, too, with 34-28 and what happened with taking the points with the Falcons. Forget about winning the game. You couldn't even get there and cover the spread. So what? Anything have you added, anything you like, Super Bowl props or more on the game?
I think when I talked to you last week, I played Sam Darnold over 29.5 pass attempts. I played Kenneth Walker under 73.5 rushing yards. I'm going to play Darnold to throw a pick, I believe. And there are some props at the Westgate I'm taking a look at. I thought this was interesting. You know, sometimes you can play the fun props and take a shot, and the Westgate's got one I'd never seen before. Will the final score of this Super Bowl be the same as any past Super Bowl?
I like that.
And
my
prediction in the VSiN Super Bowl guide was Patriots 23-20, and 23-20 was the score a few years ago when the Rams beat the Bengals. Not to say that's going to be the score of this one, but 4-1, you get plus 400 on the yes. And there are a bunch of other stuff I'm looking at, but I did play the Patriots plus 5 in the game, plus 5 minus 105 at South Point. If you make a straight bet out there, and I think the Westgate Superbook's got the same promotion going on Friday, if you make a straight bet, you get minus 105. So I took the Patriots plus 5, and you know how I like to handicap the NFL. A lot of people like to bet on what they've seen most recently. Mm-hmm. I like to bet the opposite of what I've seen most recently. And what we saw most recently was the Seahawks running up a big number on the Rams, Sam Darnold playing the best game of his career. And we've heard a lot of talk here the past week and a half or so about how bad Drake May's looked in the playoffs, how soft the Patriots' schedule is, blah, blah, blah. Go on and on. Well, that Seattle defense actually allowed 479 yards and 8.3 yards per play to the Rams. And the Patriots' defense has allowed 8.7 points per game in the playoffs. So think a lot of people are overlooking how good the Pats defense is. So I'm just going to go sort of the opposite of the narrative here. And I think the Patriots are live to win this game. Definitely think the number's too high at 5. And I expect Drake May to play lights out. And it wouldn't be surprising to me. I believe in Sam Darnold more than I did, and I think most people do. But it wouldn't be surprising to me if Darnold throws out a dud on Sunday.
That's okay. Fair. That's right. Fair. No, I stated my case earlier. Why do you like New Mexico tonight?
Why do I like New Mexico? You got one of the best home court advantages in college basketball. I love night games at the Pit. I've been there many times. It's my favorite venue in college hoops right there with Allen Fieldhouse in Kansas. But I've been watching pretty much every Mountain West game every week, and I feel like New Mexico is the best team in the conference. I really don't understand this line being 1.5. I thought the line should be 3, and I got to preface this by saying I hate 1 or 1.5 point home favorites. Hate them. I almost never play them. That's an indication of a fragile favorite. I played 2 of them on Saturday. One was an easy winner. One was a blowout loser. I'm going to take a shot here because I just feel like the number is wrong. Lobos right now 9-2, tied with Utah State, half game back of San Diego State in the Mountain West. Lobos 8-1 in their last 9 since a 4-point loss at San Diego State. They've scored 80 points or more in 7 of the last 8. This is a team that shoots 35% from 3, 75% at the free throw line. Eric Olin, the former UC San Diego coach, doing a hell of a job. He restocked this roster overnight. And like I said, I think Utah State's a much different team away from home than it is when it's got that strong home court advantage up there in Utah. You saw that displayed in that game against San Diego State over the weekend. Utah State went on the road to Grand Canyon and lost by 10 2 weeks ago. I like the Lobos tonight. I don't understand the line, I'm going to go ahead and lay the 1.5 with New Mexico.
Fair enough. Matt Youmans, our guest here on the Progressive Guest Line. Follow him on X at Matt Youmans 24/7. Waste Management begins tomorrow morning in Scottsdale. Scotty's in it, and he's about 2-1 to win the tournament, which is absolutely insane. But he's that good right now. So how are you attacking the betting board here with him?
If he plays well this week and continues to play well, he's going to go off at about plus 250 at Augusta. I think right now he's around plus 315 at Circa, maybe 350 as good as you're going to get. I played Scotty actually top 5 minus 158. And Scotty finished tied for 25th in this a year ago. He was 15 shots behind Thomas Dietrich. But what you got to remember is that Scheffler had that hand injury from the knife accident in his kitchen, and he wasn't playing well at all the first few months last season. So you got to kind of throw that out. He's a 2022 and 2023 champ here at TPC Scottsdale. I had a chance to play this course. Brady Cannon and I went down to TPC Scottsdale. We took the VSIN shows on the road in the summer of 2021. Johnny Avello was down there when they were building the DraftKings Sportsbook. When you play that course, you're not that impressed. It's not that long. It's not that difficult. Without the stands and the fans, it looks like a totally different course when you play it. You don't have to be a long driver. You don't have to be a great putter. So I think that brings a lot of guys into play here this week. But Scheffler should be a really good bet, top 5 2-time winner on this course. I bet Maverick McNealy plus 310, top 10. Maverick is great on approach shots. I think at Torrey Pines last week, he ranked number 2 on approach shots from 170 to 175 yards. Outstanding putter. Solo 10th at Torrey Pines last week. Tied for 9th last year at Scottsdale. Tied for 6th 2 years ago. So I like Maverick McNealy. I like Hideki Matsuyama. Also top 10 at plus 245 or so. These numbers are up at DraftKings. He's a 2-time champ on this course. Tied for 25th with Scheffler a year ago. But I think Hideki's in good form. He's got course form. And then take a look at Cameron Young. He finally won a PGA Tour event last year. Tied for 12th in this last year. Tied for 22nd last week at Torrey Pines. He's playing really well. I bet him to finish top 20. But that's pretty much what I like. And I have talked with Indy Jeff Seeley today. I know he's got some bombs he likes in this tournament this week. And this is one of the best tournaments of the year to bet on Super Bowl weekend. I know a lot of people love to have action on this. I'm really looking forward to this tournament.
No doubt. Where are you going to watch the game on Sunday? Do you know yet?
Don't know yet. I've got Mike Palm in studio with me Friday night. I want to figure out what the layout is for the Circus Super Bowl parties. Obviously, there's a bunch of good parties all over town. I know the South Point's got a great one, Westgate. Where are you guys going to watch the game if you decided?
Kind of like you, undecided at this point.
Yeah. Got a bunch of friends coming into town, and they all ask, where should we watch the Super Bowl? I say, well, Circa would be ideal, but I really don't know the party set up yet at Circa.
All right, Matt, good luck tonight and this week. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Great story. By the way, we get asked that all the time. Guys, I'm going to be in town. Where should I go? You really can't go wrong. Like, every spot that you go to in town is going to be really fun. In Pocket Plays coming up next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.